Yeah. Yes, he is. My God is real. Good morning to everyone. It is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. How's everybody doing? God is good. And we thank him for blessing up. You do know it's a blessing that you woke up this morning with a roof over your head, with dry clothes and dry shoes and dry means to come and worship the Lord this morning. If you are visiting with us, you are honored guests, and thank you for choosing to visit the Fifth Ward Church of Christ this morning. We will acknowledge all of our visitors at the end of our worship service. It's just good to be with the saints this morning. Good to see everybody early on Sunday morning. We know Jesus rose early on one Sunday morning. Early at the break of dawn, Jesus rose. Our hearts and our thoughts are with those who are suffering this morning, those who are in the coastline of the United States, those who are in the Bahamas. I've not watched a lot of the news, but I watched some of it, and it's devastating. And some of us can truly relate. Not long ago, it was us. And God in his providence, as things work out in this world, we need to be thankful for every day that God gives us, and thankful for a measure of peace. You know, we take it for granted so often, but our lives can change at the drop of a hat. I didn't get a chance to speak with our elders, but I did try to make contact with someone to find out if we have some brothers and sisters in Christ that are in the Bahamas, they are trying to get back with us. They did locate one Church of Christ that's there. One of the brothers said that they lost absolutely everything, 60 or 70 of them. And so we'll speak with the elders this evening to find out how we can be of an aid, of help. Some are immediately doing things, trying to meet some of the needs. But sometimes, you know, sometimes the greater need is not. There is a great need right now, but sometimes the greater need happens a few days, a few weeks afterwards. And we're trying to be specific in how we really can help. And I know you'll be willing to help. If we'll call on to help, and so keep your ears and your minds and thoughts open for those who are suffering right now. I wanted to mention that before we got started, because sometimes our lights are on right now. Yeah, we got food in the refrigerator, and some of us ate this morning, and you have some people right now who don't know where to turn. And so let's bow real quickly and let's pray for them specifically. Thank you, Lord. We love you. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your mercy and your grace. Our hearts, Father, are with those who are suffering right now all over the United States, especially in the Bahamas and areas, in those areas. And we pray for every individual, every family. Many have lost loved ones. And we pray for them, that for your peace and your comfort, Father. We pray especially for those that are in the household of faith, and we pray that you will bless them and bless their lives, that they can get their lives back in order, and that things will be well with them, and they can continue to be a light for you, Father. Please forgive us, guide us, and keep us, and always help us to have a heart to love and to care for those who are in need, Father. Thank you for your blessings. We ask this prayer in the name of Jesus. Let us all say amen. 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 This morning, I was thinking of the Apostle Paul as he wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 16. He said, it's Timothy, he said, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And that means that, you know what, we're going to forever be learning. Because every word of the Bible is meant for us. And God says it's written for our doctrine, for teaching, for reproof, reproving things that have once been proven. You have to keep proving them again, for correction and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, the woman of God, may be perfect or complete, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. And I you know, sometimes I'm reading and sometimes I'm studying, and I'm saying, Lord Jesus, help me, reveal your word give me the right understanding to be able to teach and to be able to preach. And I say, Lord, we got so much to learn, and that's so much. We are living under the new covenant, the new testament, but in the old testament, there's so many lessons that God was trying to teach his people, and it seemed like they didn't get them. And I'm wondering how does that apply to us? Because there are so many lessons in God's word. And so this morning, I want to focus on the Old Testament, on a couple of the texts. I've entitled this lesson, Four Kings. And there are valuable lessons from kings in the Bible. I don't have time to go over the whole history, but I selected four of the kings of Judah. And some of you know, quickly, a quick summary, you know, God rescued the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage through the hand of Moses. And Moses rescued, with the help of God, rescued the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. But God didn't let Moses go to the promised land because of sin that Moses committed. But he passed the baton on to Joshua. And Joshua, through the help of the Lord and following God's word, he led the people over across Jordan and promised them all of this land. And through the lineage of Jacob, had 12 sons, and then that were the 12 tribes of Israel. And God was with them, and God blessed them so much. And then they got to looking at the other folk and all of the other lands, and Lord, they wanted to be like them. Lord, give us a king. Give us a king so we can be like the other nations. Ain't that a shame how when God blessing us, we just never satisfied and don't recognize our blessings. And God gave in to their desire to want kings. But he told them, you're going to pay the price. He says, I'm your God. Giving you everything, and they still wanted kings. And God gave them Saul. This is just a brief history. God gave them Saul, who was king. Good for a little while, then he just got beside himself. Then Saul's son, he rent the kingdom from Saul. Gave Saul, his son Ish-bosheth, became king for a short time. But then he anointed David as king. You'll know about David. David was anointed as king. David, a wonderful, good king. But David messed up too. And David had his son Solomon. And Solomon was a wise king. He was wise till the women led him away from God. Amen. That happens, don't it? And then God rent the kingdom from, he just split the kingdom. He rent the kingdom because there's always a cost for sin. The kingdom was divided. And then you had the 10 kingdoms of the north and the 2 kingdoms of the south. So you had the kingdom of Israel and the kingdom of Judah. Now that's for your homework to go and check out to see if that summary is right of the history of the Bible, history of the Old Testament. And kings of Israel. Israel had 19 kings. 19 kings. You look down through it from the time it was rent, Jeroboam being the first king. And kings of Judah, there were 20 kings. 20 kings. And it's a wonderful study in the Word of God. If you just read in 1st and 2nd Kings and 1st and 2nd Chronicles, as it gives the history of many of these kings. And I'm just selecting four that I want to take some highlights from our lesson this morning, because the history of the kings of Israel and Judah is characterized by this, their constant disobedience to God. Just constantly disobeying God. And only a handful of the kings were faithful to God. But it's amazing how one person could lead a whole nation down the wrong path. Yeah, and so we pick up. I've selected four kings this morning: Azariah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. So did they have a name? Okay, here we go. Azariah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah. Some of you never heard of these names before. Just because we just haven't studied it. We haven't studied it. That's why the Bible says all scripture is inspired by God, so it's meant for us. And there is a lesson for us, even in the study of these kings. And it's so powerful and so interesting. I can't do it do it all justice this morning, but I want to start in 2 Kings chapter 15, verse 1. You all right this morning? All right. All right. You can take notes in your bulletin, wherever you want to write the notes down. Azariah. Some of these texts, there's a contrasting text also in the book of Chronicles. Remember that. But I'm using mainly Kings. This is 2 Kings chapter 15, verse number 1. In the 27th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel. Now, Azariah is the king of Judah, but you also had the kings of Israel. And they correlate these, and I love this, because especially for those, you know, especially for those who doubt the Bible and doubt the validity of the Bible and the accuracy of the Bible and the reliability of the Bible, those who would challenge the Bible is a great history book. It gives much history, although it's not just a book of history. History talks about the past. But the Bible deals with the past, but it's trying to get us to the future. It's trying to get us to God. And so some of these names are mentioned. And go back to the first slide that we had on the title of our lesson. And I included, some of you probably were wondering, what are these symbols on the bottom of this slide? And each of these are archaeological findings of the existence of all of these four kings. Many of them found even in the 1900s, but all of them are seals that justify, that correlate, that confirm that the Bible is right when it identifies these four kings in the times that they lived. And so that's for your history. And so here we go in 2 Kings chapter 15, verse in the 27th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, Azariah. In Chronicles calls him, uses the term, some of your translations may use Uzziah. Some of you have heard of Uzziah, the same person, son of Amaziah, king of Judah, became king. He was 16 years old when he became king. That's young, 16 years old. Raise your hand if you are a young man in here this morning and you are 16. Do we have any 16-year-old young men in here? I see a young lady, 16. Yeah, you want to be queen, huh? Okay. No young man is 16 in here this morning? Oh, okay, there we go, 16-year-old. Stand up for just a second. I don't want to embarrass you, but I just want you to stand up for just a second. 16-year-old, tell you what, don't underestimate the influence, the ability, the power, the talents of a 16-year-old young man. Amen? Thank you. You can be seated. Now, of course, it had something to do with his lineage, who his family was, if he became king. But he was 16 when he became king. The scripture said he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. That's a long time. Well, to God is not long, but to us is long. Because one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. But he reigned 52 years. You know, I was thinking about this as I was studying this. I said, you know, God put us on this earth. This is our time. Which means it's our era. It's the era that God put us. What are we doing with our time? What we do, the decisions we make will greatly paint the picture of how our lives are spent on this earth. And many times one person can make a whole lot of difference in whether we live in peace or whether we live in conflict, whether we live in order or whether we live in chaos. And here this young man, he's 50, he rules for 50. His mother's name was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. Listen to this statement. He did right in the sight of the Lord. Now, I didn't get the young man's name that's 16. What's your name? Isaiah. Oh, you got a Bible name. You know that, huh? You know you got a Bible. You know you have a name of a prophet in the Bible. Isaiah. All right. 16. The scripture said, can a 16-year-old young man a 16-year-old young lady make right decisions? Without a doubt. And those of us that's older than 16, we were 16 at one time, weren't we? Can I ask you a question without putting a guilt trip on you? How were you at the age of 16? Amen. Tell you what, you know, you're 16 and you got the right use of your faculties. You can make decisions between right and wrong. And the scripture says that Azariah, Uzziah did right in the sight of the Lord. Everybody ought to say, praise the Lord. It says, according to all his father Amaziah had done. He had a daddy who did what was right. That's why I wanted to focus on the kings of Judah. Because not all of them, many of them made wrong decisions. But Lord, the kings of Israel, a whole lot of them did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. Amen. And the scripture would say, no, he did what was right. Now, you might be asking the question, because I did too when I was studying. I said, you know, what does the Bible mean when it says a person does right in the sight of God? First of all, we got to know what right is. Amen. See, that's a big problem in our society, in the world, even in the Lord's church. Sometimes we act like we don't know what right is. And the world has blurred the lines, and now the world would have us to stay away. Don't worry about what's right. Just do what you feel. Just do what's best for you. And even the young people say, I'm gonna just do me this time. Oh, have mercy. Me is not right in the sight of God. And you see it. You even see this now. And I'm glad this is in the Bible. It says that he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. But then look at verse 4. It says, only the high places were not taken away. Now, he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, but he didn't do all what was right. And that's our human. I don't want to call it our human nature, but Lord, the Bible does say all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And see, this is the old covenant. This is the Old Testament. When God was revealing his plan of salvation for the whole world. And it just demonstrates to us, I don't care how good, quote unquote, we say we are, we all got some issues. Everybody in here got some things we need to work on, amen? Now, you know, the question is, do you know what you need to work on? Do we know what we are doing that's not right in the sight of God? Yeah. And it tells us that, see, Azariah, he didn't remove the high places. And some of us don't know what the high places are, but the Bible tells us, if you go to Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 2, listen now, and it wasn't that he didn't know, because he knew what to do. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 2, you shall utterly destroy all the places where the nations whom you shall dispossess serve their gods. On the high mountains and on the hills and under every green tree, you shall tear down their altars and smash their sacred pillars and burn their Asherim with fire. You shall cut down the engraved images of their gods and obliterate their name before that place. And see what it was is the children of Israel, the children of Judah were supposed to worship God in Jerusalem at the temple. And instead of worshiping at the temple, some of these leaders, they started putting up regional places of worship on mountains, on hillsides, under the trees, in places where it was convenient for people to worship. And they were not worshiping the God. They were worshiping their God. And they were called the high places. And the king was doing, obviously he did some things right. He cleaned up some things, but I don't know if he gave into the influence of people and say, well, you know, it's all right for them. I can't stop them from doing that, so I'm not going to worry about that. I don't know what he did, but he didn't do that. Yeah. And God notes it in the word of God. And some of us need to see some of us in our homes, in our families, some of us don't see some of us. We don't have the power to do some things, but some of us do. If you a daddy in your house, You have children, and you the father. We are to lead our houses. Amen. 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 Somebody. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. When I sit down at the table, I have the power to say, bow your heads, let's pray. Amen, amen somebody. Amen. I have that power. And some of us have relinquished the powers to the mothers in the house. Amen. And not that the mothers can't pray, but if you got a daddy in the house, daddy's why? Yeah. And so I was just thinking. I said, Lord, what kind of leader am I? You know, what am I going to leave for my house? And then and notice. Let me just say this. Is when I read the Bible. As good as God is, God is good, isn't he? As good as he is, there's always a consequence when we don't obey God. You know, sometimes it don't come right away. Woo, thank the Lord for mercy. Sometimes the Lord, if we humble ourselves, he let us escape. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Lord. How many times has the Lord let you escape? Woo, thank you, Jesus. Have mercy. But as good as Azariah was, as right as he was, listen to verse 5. I'm glad this is in the Bible because this is reality. The Bible says the Lord struck the king. Now, he did what was right, but he didn't do everything God asked him to do. Lord, help us in our weaknesses. Help us help us to be strong when we need to be strong. Said the Lord struck the king so that he was a leper to the day of his death. Scriptures say, and you have to read Chronicles for the full story. And he lived in a separate house while Jotham, the king's son, was over the household. And you see, Jotham becomes king in just a minute. We're going to read about Jotham and judging the people of the land. Now, he was 16 when he became king. He did what was right. So that means he did a number of things that God was pleased with. It was God, but the Bible doesn't just tell us, it doesn't tell us exactly when he became this leper. I was searching, trying to find how old he was when he became a leper. I don't know. God was good. Good to him, but it seemed like he gave him time to do exactly what he wanted to do, but he didn't do it, and God made him pay the price. Now, I'm gonna tell you, what his danger, what tripped him up. If you go to Second Chronicles, it gives you a little clue. Second Chronicles chapter 26. Everybody's still all right, huh? 2 Chronicles chapter 26 verse 16. Listen to this. 2 Chronicles chapter 26 verse 16. This is part of the correlating scripture that deals with Uzziah or Azariah. It says, when he became strong. I don't know how old he was. But the scripture says, when he became strong, his heart was so proud that he acted corruptly and he was unfaithful to the Lord his God. See, Azariah did what was right, just like us, some of us. We know what God expects of us. And some of us, we do what's good and we do what's right. I was raised in the church. I was a pretty good boy, and I knew what I was supposed to do, what was right. I obeyed my parents most of the time. You know, I went to church and I prayed and I did, you know, but you know what I think about somebody? I wasn't all that good. There's some things I don't want you to know about. I'm going to tell you something. I can admit the Lord has spanked me for some of the stuff I was so-called getting away with. I thought I was getting away with. The Lord spanked me. And I'm telling you what, he spanked me real good. And I believe that's part of the reason why I'm standing in this pulpit right now. Because God has been. Has God been good to you? And I owe God a greater debt. Yeah, I owe God a greater debt. And I if God treated me the way I should have been treated, Lord knows. But you know what? This boy got proud. You know why he got proud? Because he was doing good. Because when you're doing good, God blesses us. And you know, he became strong because he knew God was on his side. But you know what? He got so proud. See, only the Levites were supposed to go in the temple to burn incense. And the scripture says that, look what, his heart was so proud that he acted corruptly and he was unfaithful to God because he went in the temple because he came and said, look, I'm going in, I'm going to burn incense. Knew he wasn't supposed to be doing that. And the scripture said God struck him. Ooh, Lord Jesus, have mercy. Lord, please don't strike me no more. Yeah. That's Azariah. That's Azariah. I need to hasten. Now Jotham, we just mentioned Jotham in here because he struck Azariah. He had to stay in a different place away from the people. I don't know how old he was, but he stayed there until he died. And it's his son Jotham who he really was king almost before he was king. He had to manage the household. Go to 2 Kings chapter 15, verse 32. 2 Kings chapter 15, verse 32. In the second year of Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel. See the correlation? He correlates the time when Jotham became king. He correlates it with the time the king of Israel. Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, became king. There it is. He became king. He was 25 years old when he became king. Okay, we have anybody in here that's 25? Any male that's 25? Male that's 25? Male that's 25. All right, good. Wonderful. You mind standing for just a second? Just to say, I don't want to embarrass you. I just want everybody to see you. Boy, look here. Boy, 25? Boy, 25. Some of the older in here say, Lord, I'm 25. 25 is the prime. I don't know if I should call it prime, but 25 is a good age. Thank you. Thank you very much. What's your name, sir? I should know that. G? G. All right. Okay. G like Gary, huh? Okay. All right. Okay. He's 25. Yeah. Boy. See, you know what? That's why if you're young in here, don't waste your time. Yeah. Don't think you got don't do that, because some of us we got habits. We started habits when we were young, and we've been struggling with them. We struggling with them at the age of 65. Amen. Yeah. Follow the Lord. Be like Solomon. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Where the evil days draw nigh. I don't have time to go into that, but boy, have mercy. Yeah. And so Jotham was 25 years old when he became king. But notice he was a protege. He had some experience, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. Now, so remember, Azariah, Uzziah reigned 52 years. And you think right now, from age 25 to 16 years, somebody help me with that, 16, 35, 41 years old. Now, from age 16 to age 52, how many years, what's that, how old? 16 to 52, what is it? 68, yeah. Generations. He says this, he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Jerusha, the daughter of Zadok. He did what was right in the sight of the Lord. There's a phrase that we say, like father, like son. Yeah, that's beautiful. It's beautiful. And when you can learn, see, because when you got somebody that's teaching you right, doing what's right, leading you what's right, it should be hard to do what's wrong. It should be, right? But why does some of us not? Yeah. The scripture says he did what was right. Yeah. Because see, some of us didn't have good examples. Amen. Some of us didn't have good examples. And And it could be more difficult. It says he did according to all that his father Uzziah had done. And see, now notice this. Now, so Jotham saw what his daddy did. His daddy went into the temple and tried to burn incense. Jotham saw his daddy being struck with leprosy. He saw that, as some of us have seen the mistakes our mamas and our daddies have made, haven't we? You don't have to amen. Some of us in the Lord's church have seen mistakes that those who've gone on before us have made. Yes, we've actually seen it, experienced it. The question is, have we learned from it? Yeah, have we learned from it? Yeah. I was watching this morning. My wife, sometimes in the morning, she loves to turn the TV on. Sunday morning, I don't like TV be on. But she just got a habit. She just get up and she turn the TV on. But then sometimes she turns it on and I'm getting ready. But this morning, she turned the television on and they showed this lady and this man in court. I guess the man was in court. And this lady, who I don't know who killed the baby, put the baby in the closet. It's sad. It's sad that children have to suffer for the mistakes of the parents. Isn't it sad? Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us to be wise. Help us to stop sending these children through stuff that they shouldn't have to experience. But Jotham saw his daddy, and he didn't make the same mistake his daddy made, praise the Lord. Yeah, so he didn't make the same mistake. So you don't have to go down the same road because somebody's doing the same. Yeah. Said he did what was right. But I take it back, because let's read verse 35. Only the high places were not taken away. The people still sacrifice and burn incense on the high places. Didn't God tell them to get rid of the high places? That's what God told them. But just like we said, like father, like. Father didn't have the fortitude. He didn't have the crowd. He didn't. Yeah. This is observations I'm making. Sometimes we can almost ingrain habits, traditions into our families, into our lineage, because somebody won't stand up and correct what's wrong in our families. And we act like it's not even there. But God sees all. It takes somebody. And a lot of times it only takes one somebody to really do what's right. I don't want to bring up examples, but we know what's right. Amen. Yeah. See, I don't want to bring up this. I'm going to just mention this. I was talking to, this has been way in the past. Nobody in here, so don't be saying, Brooke, you talking? No, I'm not talking about you. If the shoe fit, don't let it. I mean, you know, what's that phrase? If the shoe fit. But I'm not talking about nobody. I was talking to this guy who telling me, man, Brooke, it's just how we, you know, all the men in my family got a, what they call it, got a side piece. If you don't know what a side piece is, hey, listen, that's good if you don't know. I mean, we were just talking, and he just said, you know, that's just, you know, all of me got a side piece. But you know what's even more, well, I'm not going to say even sadder, is that I've heard some females say the same thing. I know what you're preaching and all that, but you, girl, don't you put all your eggs in one basket? Azariah, Jotham, Ahaz. Woo, there's some good read. In the 17th year of Pekah, son of Remaliah, Ahaz, notice, the son of Jotham, king of Judah, became king. Ahaz was 20 years old when he became king. We have any young man that's 20 years old? Any young man that's 20 years old in here? 20 years old. Stand up for just a second. Is that Michael? Yeah, that's Michael. You 20? 20 years old. My goodness, I'm getting old. That's one of my youth minister, one of my in my classroom. Lord, Michael, 20 years old. Church, say praise the Lord. Yeah. I said 25 was the peak, the prime. 20? Whoo, man. Oh, some of you brothers in here, you wish you can go back to 20? Yeah, some of me does and some of me does not. Well, listen, you can do some great things. I tell you what, but you can make some grave mistakes. That's a challenging age. You already know about it. But you got good family. You have your church family. Man, 20 years old. Thank you, Michael. You can sit down. The responsibility of the kingdom was in his hands. Ahaz was 20 years old when he became king. He reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. He reigned 16 years. And notice this. He did not do what was right in the sight of the Lord, his God. Ahaz went stone crazy. I'm talking about, it's just like he lost his mind. Have you ever wondered how a bad seed can come up out of a good family? Now, no, of course, none of us know everything that goes on in people's houses. Some families you quote call good, you don't really know if they're good or not. So I'm just talking about from God's perspective. I'm not trying to say, but you know, you see a mama and a daddy who's trying to raise a, and you know, kids have their own mind. You know that, don't you? Oh, I'm telling you, you can pray with them, talk with them, tell them what to do. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. They go right out that door. I mean, it's scary. Act like you haven't said nothing. And some of us are in here right now beating ourselves up. How could it happen? What did we do? Sometimes it's the world, it's the influences, it's a girl, it's a boy, it's some crazy influential man or woman that got a hold of them. I don't know all the reasons, but I tell you what, I do understand this, I do know this, I'm understanding it better. I tell you what, I'm grown now, and I'm trying to get to heaven for myself. And you know, once you've done all you can for these kids, you love them, you pray for them, but don't you let these children take you to hell. Ooh, Lord Jesus, give them strength. And Ahaz, he just was crazy. I'm telling you, I don't even know another word to say. Let me rush, okay? It says this. He did not do as his father David had done, but he walked in the way, notice this, he walked in the way of the kings of Israel. That's why I said, I didn't start with the kings of Israel. But boy, they were some rotten leaders. Most of them were. He said, he did as the king of Israel and even made his son pass through fire. This man was sacrificing his own children. And so you know, some things that happen today, we say, man, what's the world coming to? These people doing this. They've been around a long time. That's nothing new under the sun. He says this, according to the abominations of the nations from whom the Lord had driven out from the before the children of Israel, he sacrificed and burned incense on the high places and on the hills and under every green tree. Ahaz, not only, he was defiant. He said, y'all just do what you want to do. Sacrifice to any god you want to. It's your, you just do it. And he influenced the whole nation of people. Ahaz. And only time would not allow me to tell you he paid the price. Amen. As we will pay the price. I'm grown. I'm my own man. I'm my own. I make my own decisions. I'm just doing me. Well, do you? If you want to. And God is good. God is merciful. God, let's just rain on the just and the unjust. And that's what gets us sometimes. We think we're getting away with something. God, hey, look, everything going on just like it's been. One day. If you're watching here, one day. If you're watching by television, one day. I want to get to Hezekiah because of my time is up. 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 1. And it came about in the third year of Hosea, the son of Eli, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, praise the Lord. This is for those of us who come from situations and circumstances that are unfortunate, that you have a mom, a leader, a daddy who is not doing what's right in the sight of God, and you see it going on. But God is so wonderful. Sometimes God gives us a father who's not a father. He puts a person in our lives. He puts us in a circumstance, a situation where not your daddy, not your mother has to make the decision, but you have to make a decision for yourself what direction your life, not your daddy's life, not your mama's life, not your brother's life, what direction your life is going to go into. Amen. He was 25 years old when he became king. He reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah. He did right in the sight of the Lord. Praise the Lord. What's right, Brother Gary? Anything that God calls right is right. I know the lines are blurred. I know in our world, you know, folk don't even want you to say what's right. And sometimes you say what's right, you're going to be attacked. But right is what God says is right. Not what your cousins say, not what the government say, not what a law on a piece of paper say, if it don't say what God said. That's what's right. So if we're going to know what is right, we need to go to the Word of God. And God's word only. He did what was right. According to all his father David had done, he removed the high. Somebody can stand up. He removed the high place. Yes, that's Hezekiah. He broke down the sacred pillars and cut down the Asherah. He also broke in pieces the bronze serpent that Moses had made. For until the days the sons of Israel burned incense on it, it was called the Nehushtan. He trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel, so that after him there was none like him among all the kings of Judah. And he came from a bad seed. Nor among those who were before him. Listen to verse 6, church. He said, for he clung to the Lord. He did not part from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord had commanded Moses. And verse 7, and the Lord was with him. Do we want the Lord to be with us? Sometimes it gets difficult to cling to the Lord when nobody else is clinging to the Lord. Scripture says, wherever he went, he prospered. Anybody want to prosper? You know, I want to prosper. And see, and I know the definition of prosper is different for many people. But we can, as Christians, we can make wise decisions and prosper before we get to heaven. And the scripture said he prospered. Notice this. Wherever he went, this is not after he died. This is before. Wherever he went, he prospered. And one person can have that influence on your family. Your family can prosper because you are leading your family in the right way according to what God says is right. It will bless your children. It'll bless your grandchildren. It'll bless your household while we're living on earth. Anybody want that? That's what I want. I've already made enough mistakes. And I want the rest of my days, however long they may be on this earth, I want them to prosper. Amen. And so that means that I have to search God's word for every decision that's made in my family's life as I try to lead them to make sure they're in line with what God would have me to do. And Hezekiah did that. It's bold. It's bold. It's different. Yeah, it's different. And God bless you. You need to read the rest of that story. You need to read the rest of that story. Because God blessed Hezekiah. Now, not to say that he didn't have some trials. Yeah, we're going to trials. We're on this earth. We're in a crooked world. We're going to have to face some demons. I learned a lot from reading about those kings. I learned there's some things that I need to do better. Yeah. You here today, and struggling, trying to make right decisions. Sometimes we get disillusioned. Sometimes we get tired. Sometimes we just get beat down. Sometimes we just seem like the devil is beating on us. Keep serving God. Keep trusting God and keep searching his word for what is right and keep doing what is right. Husbands, be good husbands. Wives, sisters, be good wives. If you're single in here, be a righteous single person. Whether you're young or whether you are season. Be righteous. Search God's word for what is righteous and cling to God. Cling to him every day of your life. In every decision that we make. And watch and see how God will bless us. And bless us to prosper even while we on it. I didn't say God gonna give you $2 million. Because some folks correlate. Listen, I'm telling you, you know what? Right now, I thank the Lord. I don't need $2 million. Praise the Lord. I haven't always been there. I just want my bills to be paid. Amen. I want to keep a house with some air in it, especially in the summer in Houston. I'm praying my children don't go crazy. Praying my children keep loving the Lord and serving the Lord and being good mothers. It's the same thing. Isn't that what we all want? And I know, and I'm not expecting God to fix everything instantaneously, but you know what? I just want to, when I lay my head down, Lord, just give me a good night's sleep. Lord, have mercy. And when the trials come along, and they're coming along, I'm not saying God's going to put an umbrella around us, nobody going to die in our family. When the trials come along, I want to be able to bow my head to the Lord and say, Lord, bless my loved ones. Bless our family. Get us through this because we put our full trust in you. And knowing he's going to deliver you here today, you're not a child of God. You need to be. It's where you need to be. It's what you need to be, because these blessings only come from God. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. He that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder. God is a rewarder of those who diligently, I love that that's in the Bible, because it says wherever you are, God, wherever your struggle is, you diligently, see, you can't nobody judge whether or not you are diligently doing something. You start where you are. Stop comparing yourself to other folks. And you seek God. Yeah. God knows your heart. He knows when we're trying, and Lord knows. You see, some of God, we serve a good God. I hope is, and I've talked to people, we have folks in here who are struggling with addictions. God knows when you are diligently seeking him. Don't you let somebody who is holy to put a guilt trip on you. You keep diligently seeking God. I could say even more about that. Don't you feel so guilty that you're so guilty you can't come in the Lord's house. Amen. Yeah, because see, I'm just praying the Lord don't catch me somewhere I don't need to be when Jesus comes. Amen. You here and you need the church to pray for you, we'll pray for you. You here and you need to come. Won't you come as we stand and sing?
Humble thyself.
Somebody needs to be baptized
in the sight of the Lord.
Faith, repentance, confession, and baptism.
I know how I'll humble myself in the sight of the Lord. And he will lift you up. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound.
Amazing grace,
oh, I know how amazing grace, how sweet the sound.
Amazing grace,
that saved a wretch like me, that saved.